Have you ever felt frustrated because you just couldn't find a lovely book to read? I can start to crave not just a good book, but a book that draws me in and evokes such a deep emotion that I can say, wow, that was a lovely book. Welcome, friends. This is Emmy B on Lovely Books Podcast, where it's my job to highlight the lovely books that keep you reading and connect you to the world. If you're new to Lovely Books, this podcast is more than just a best books podcast. It's about the reader's experience and takeaway. No book reviews, no analysis of literary content, just thoughts and personal anecdotes brought to our minds by the characters and subject matter that we love. That's what brings the book to life for you. I hope we give you something to think about, something to laugh about, and something lovely to read. In this episode, I'm here with my good friend Kim Peterson to highlight two lovely books. One is of her choosing and one is of mine. The first one is Grit by Angela Duckworth, and the second is Lean In by Sheryl Sandberg. Welcome, Kim. I'm happy to have you here. This is so fun.
Thank you.
Yeah, before we begin, I'm going to give Kim a chance to introduce herself.
Okay, so I graduated from the University of Utah in business. I have four kids from the ages of 12 to 20. I love to read, I love to exercise, hike, spend time with family, and then a few things that I kind of, on the side, love to do. I love investing in small startup companies, and I love trading stocks, and that's something I'm kind of passionate about in a weird way.
Cool.
And so I was trying to think of a funny fact or something just interesting, but when my kids were younger, I kind of just needed something that was just my own. And so I started listening to audiobooks.
Okay.
And so I've listened to a lot of audiobooks. When I'm at the grocery store or folding laundry or whatever, I'm always listening to audiobooks. And so I always listen to them on double time so that they're faster. Mm-hmm. And I have had to set rules for myself where I don't listen to them when my kids are in the car or so that I can be fully present with my kids. And so I knew that I'd listened to a lot of books last year with the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And so I went back and I counted, and last year I listened to 231 books.
Oh my gosh. Really?
I know.
So what genre?
Everything.
You just like it all?
Yes.
Yay.
Just a little bit of everything. So it just depends on what my
mood is. That is so fun. So do you have a favorite audiobook narrator? Do you keep track of who the narrators are?
I do know that there's some voices that I like a lot better than others. I just don't know who they are. And they have to be able to, I have to like their voice in double time, so.
Right? So have you ever not finished an audiobook, or do you always power through?
I power through.
Okay. I like it. That's
fun. Unless it's something that I feel like is super offensive.
Yeah.
But it's really rare. Even if it's boring to me, I'll just keep listening to it, just hoping that something changes by the end.
Cool. That is a fun fact. Well, we are going to start our conversation off today with Grit by Angela Duckworth. And she is a really accomplished, fabulous lady. She has a PhD and is the 2013 MacArthur Fellow and Professor of Psychology at the University of Pennsylvania. She has advised the World Bank, NBA and NFL teams, and Fortune 500 CEOs. She's also the founder and CEO of Character Lab, a nonprofit whose mission is to advance scientific insights that help kids thrive. She completed her BA in neurobiology at Harvard and her MSc in neuroscience at Oxford and her PhD in psychology at the University of Pennsylvania. Her book, Grit, The Power of Passion and Perseverance, is her first book and was an instant New York Times bestseller. I read this book a couple years back. Okay, it was published in 2016. And so going back and reading this a second time, I loved it as much as the first. I feel like this is a book that really is relevant and helpful to life and to any person, regardless of whether you're a stay-at-home mom, whether you're a working single person. Basically, if you're in college, if you're, I mean, pretty much every stage of life, this is a book that's relevant for you. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. I think that, and it's interesting as you look at the book, how people do develop grit. And so it even teaches you, if you don't have it, what you can do to develop it.
Which is so cool. So before we kind of dive into this and talk more about it, will you give us a brief summary?
It's actually, I feel like it's really self-explanatory, but I love how it goes into depth with everything. But so when I read it, I think one of the reasons I loved it so much is I read it during the pandemic.
Okay.
So the pandemic had only been going on for a few months, and you kept hearing about just the mental health of kids with school shut down and not being able to have the social and school being so hard. And so as I was reading it, like I got really passionate about it because I felt like every child, if they've got grit, it's going to be easier for them to be able to go through some of these things.
Definitely.
And so, so I loved it because it went from kind of how to deal with things, how to build grit, and how, over time you actually, as we're getting older, we are kind of developing it without even trying to.
Right. Right. I love that. So I've often thought that natural talent and intelligence were the highest indicators of success in life. If, you know, from a young age, you always score well on tests and you have natural athletic ability or have all of these things going for you, that those were really the strongest indicators of how successful you would be. And that is not the case as per the research done in this book. And that really surprised me. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Do you know, that really surprised me too, but the more that you think about it, it makes sense that being able to dig deep, just how much easier it is for you to be able to get through things and be successful at things. One of my favorite things that really had stuck out with me from the first time that I'd read it was with Will Smith.
Okay. Yeah.
And so the thing with Will Smith, that he had talked about was, when he was saying that there are other people that are better looking than he is, they're more talented than he is, but that he could beat any of them on a treadmill. Mm-hmm. And so you wonder, what does a treadmill have to do with it? And he said, if we're running on a treadmill, you will either give up first or I will die trying. Right. And so he's not going to get up. And so he just talks about just how it talks about his work ethic, just how he's just going to give it his all and just keep doing it. Mm-hmm. And then right after, it talks about the Harvard study where they studied all of these people on the treadmill for 5 minutes at a pretty steep incline and going faster, and then followed them through their lives and how it wasn't off of who was the most physically fit, but over life, the people who were mentally healthy were the ones that were able to stay on the treadmill the longest. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, and I love this analogy too because I'm not a runner. And so just imagining for myself having the determination to get on a treadmill next to someone who may or may not meet my same fitness level and having the determination in my mind to say, you know, you might be more fit, you might be more whatever, but if the two of us are going head to head on this treadmill, I will die before I get off first. I just think that's intensity. That's some real intensity.
And I think that for sure, probably being in shape helps a little bit.
Right.
But it really just comes down to that's what is, it's mental toughness.
So what's the difference between like passion and perseverance?
I think passion is the initial interest, maybe why you're getting into something where you have to have an interest. It's really hard to work really hard and give it your all when it's not something that you're interested in at all. Mm-hmm. And she talks about how people stay in their jobs longer or continue to do something if they at least have passion with it. Mm-hmm. And then perseverance is where you're not giving up. You're just going to keep finding ways. If you get to a dead end, you're going to look at other ways how to do it and how to get better and how to succeed with it.
If we go back to the example of the treadmill. Mm-hmm. So I grew up loving ballet. Absolutely loving ballet. And I was not a natural talent, but I would sooner die than have someone work harder than me in the ballet class. When I got in the car at the end of every class, my mom wouldn't say like, how was class today? How did you do? She would say, who worked the hardest today? And it always had to be me. I worked the hardest. I always gave 150%. I took extra classes. I was like 150% in. And so as I kind of look back at that and I think about the comparison of being on a treadmill, I probably will not persevere on a treadmill because I don't care about running, right? But I would always persevere in ballet because I was passionate about it. Mm-hmm. So I think sometimes we feel like maybe we're not a gritty person because we don't dig in on everything. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm not a type A person, does that mean I can't be gritty? And it doesn't.
See, and that's one thing that I actually had struggled with a little bit with the book, as far as the difference between passion and perseverance, because there's actually a test that you can take in it to see what you scored and the perseverance, I was, I think, like, as high as, I think I was a 24 out of a 25.
Yeah.
But for the passion part, I kept thinking, it just depends on what I'm passionate about. Because some things, like, I'll really get interested in for a while, and then you do it, and it, and I don't think it means that I'm necessarily giving up or less gritty, because I don't stay completely focused on it. I think I just have a lot of different interests, or I kind of am just deciding what to put my time into. And so that's where I kind of struggled a little bit with that, because with the passion part, when it was saying, you know, will you get distracted or will you, but I think at this point in my life, I'm not like trying to be the best ballerina or runner or, you know, there's just different things that I'm focused on right now. And so, so that was one thing that, as far as, I don't think that you can put it into a little box.
Yeah. And make it a life, make it cover every aspect of your life, but you can compartmentalize it. Like, I might be a really gritty person when I'm at work. But when I'm home with my kids, I might just be like chill mom who's like, whatever gets done, gets done.
But then on the other hand, too, if something needs to get done, like,
you have the ability
as mom that you're going to, that you can get it done. It doesn't matter if you've got six kids and you're cleaning your house and you've got to get reports done, or you, you know, where you can just dig in.
And you have the ability to dig in. And she does talk about, you know, how to improve your grit, which we're not going to go into a ton in this podcast. But, you know, if there are areas of your life where you want to have more grit, that's actually something that can be improved. You know, if you're not feeling like you're gritty about everything. I just find it a little bit reassuring, as, you know, I do a lot of things in my life and I'm running in 500 different directions, as most of us are, that I don't have to feel like I'm not gritty because I don't dig in everything. I can just dig in some things.
Well, and she does actually kind of talk about it a little bit when she talks about when Warren Buffett had said to make a list of 25 goals and then narrowing it down to the five most important goals. And of those five goals, get rid of the rest of the stuff. And maybe those five are the key. And I haven't done that, but I think that maybe that's kind of what you're talking about, where they're are a lot of things that we're doing, and it's just kind of trying to balance your time. Or maybe those are mini goals for the main goal.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. Okay. Let's talk about the four characteristics of grit.
Sure. She said that it's interest, practice, purpose, and hope. And that out of all of them, hope was the most important to have.
Why do you think that is?
I thought that that was actually really interesting. That more so than the practice or the interest in it, that it's hope.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe because if you don't have the hope, then you lose the initiative. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like with your brain, the anticipation of reward is when you release the dopamine, right? And that feel good is the anticipation or the hope that in the end, the reward will come.
And I think, so I feel like I saw that a lot with, with my son, Joshua. So playing basketball, and he's played basketball for years. And so he had the interest, he did the practice, he, you know, had then the purpose and everything that he wanted to do. But a lot of it would depend on the coaches, because sometimes he had terrible coaches and sometimes he had amazing coaches.
Yeah.
So in the times when he had the terrible coaches, when they would, it didn't matter that he had been, you know, all summer long working between 6 and 8 hours a day, you know, doing all of the things that he needed to do. He'd put in his time, he'd done his scrimmages and his lifting and his skill development, and he had done everything. But then the coach, you know, you still have politics.
Yeah.
And you can't do anything about that. Yeah. And so the coach would take away the hope, where it doesn't matter. And it didn't even matter if he was a better player than the one person that he had in.
Right.
It didn't matter. And so taking away that hope, you just would see how that would definitely change the attitude, change how much time, you know, you'd want to put into it.
And can there be a point in that where you say, you know what, this isn't going to work?
I think you can, but I think also it's a way sometimes to see if you really
want it,
have grit.
I like it.
Because I feel like with it, I saw my son kind of more, maybe he would focus a little bit more on this, or where he still would dig deep. There were some times when I thought, okay, he's not going to go out and do basketball next year after this, but where I would see him dig deep and practice even harder and, you know, go and do different things to develop more just so that he was the best at what he was doing. And so that's where I really saw the grit really coming out when, when you didn't have somebody else giving you hope, where you had to kind of dig deep. And
I love that. And she talks about burnout in this book and how to parent through burnout. And I think, you know, that's something that as a parent, like, I'm always worried about looking at my kids when they're investing so much time and energy in something that I worry they're going to burn out. But it's cool when you see your kids push through that and like keep the passion.
Yeah, because I think that it's something that you can encourage them, but it's something where in the end, they're going to have to do it themselves.
Right. You know, pushing through something that you're not passionate about, if it's not making you happy and you're not passionate about it, you can have all the natural talent in the world, but you're not going to be happy doing it. So I love that aspect of it. So since we're talking about kids, did you find this more relevant to you as you were reading it? You mentioned that, you know, you were in quarantine and coronavirus, global pandemic, all this, and it really helped you with your kids. But did you see more of yourself in this book, or did you see, as you were reading it, did you feel like it was more applicable to your children as you're watching them grow?
I feel like it's, of course, applicable to me, but I feel like right now, just because I still have children that are in the home, that it's more important trying to build the grit in them before they're out of the house. And so being able to do it while you're in the house. And so a few years ago, and I think that it kind of gives me grit having kids, because I know that they're watching me. So a few years ago, I had done just a small Olympic sized triathlon. So, so it's not a big one, but so, when I was doing it, I hadn't practiced in an open river. And so with my wetsuit on, and so
that makes a difference.
In and I start swimming, and you know, you start going really fast. And then all of a sudden I couldn't catch my breath because the wetsuit was so wet or so tight. And so I thought I was going to drown. And the only thing I kept thinking, the boat started coming towards me to pull me out of the water. And I kept thinking, there is no way that I'm going to get on that boat, because when I go home, my kids are going to ask me and I'm going to say I gave up. So, so when they're having a hard time in soccer, when they're having a hard time in lacrosse, when they're having a hard time in basketball, then I can't be the person that says, okay, that's really hard, but you need to go back out and go do it. And so I had to do it.
Yeah.
And so that was something that I don't know if I would have finished it. I might've just gotten out if I didn't have my kids, where I'm just like, nope, I can't do it.
Yeah. Some hardcore accountability.
Yeah. And so I think I do it more for my kids, just because in this world, you need to have grit. And so just what I can help develop while they're at home.
So do you consider yourself a gritty person?
I do. I hope I am. I hope I am. But I think that as far as being able to work hard, or really when it gets hard, being able to just do it, I like to think that I can do it, but...
Do you think, from the perspective of a mother, do you think that when you don't save your kids from difficult things, and when you help them dig in, is it better to help them develop grit, or is it better to have them see if they're gritty? Does that make sense? That's kind of a weird question.
No, I think I know what you're saying. I think in a time right now where there's so many helicopter parents and snowplow parents, that it's one of those things that we're just trying to make things easier for our kids. And I think we're thinking that we're showing our kids love. But it's interesting because my brother-in-law is a child psychologist. And so I've actually talked to him quite a bit about this stuff. And so one day I had said something about how, you know, I had to babysit my younger siblings all the time. And so I didn't want to put that off on my oldest daughter. I wanted her to be able to still have her childhood and be able to do her stuff. And he kind of stopped me and he said, why would you take that away from her? And I was like, what are you talking about? She's going to be so much happier if she's not babysitting for me all the time. And I said, do you feel like that made you stronger and helped make you who you are? Why would you take that away from your kids? Yeah. And so I feel like as parents, we want our kids to have things maybe easier or better than we did, but we're not realizing that with that, we're taking away some of the opportunities for them to build grit.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you think, after reading this book, that when we give our kids those opportunities, the grit grows? Is it like working a muscle? Like the more you have to show your grit, the greater your grit grows?
I think so, because I don't think that it's something that, like, we had taken our two older kids to go hike, do the rim to rim across the Grand Canyon.
Best, which is the best.
It's awesome. It's so awesome. But it's 26 miles. It's really far. You get really thirsty. But it's one of those things that we didn't take all four of our kids at the same time because at the time I felt like it was a little bit too much for the younger kids. I think they could have done it. I don't think that they ever would have wanted to hike again. And so I think sometimes it's being able to know your kids and where they're at and be able to push them and make sure that they're having those hard things. And they have done hikes that have been, you know, 13 miles, 15 miles. Yeah. They have done some really hard ones. I just don't think that those two were quite ready for that.
Yeah.
And so I think sometimes as parents, it's for us to make sure that they have the hard opportunities, but not to make it so impossible that they're not going to want to try to do it. And so hopefully being able to slowly help build grit so that by the time they get a little bit older and then you take them to go do it because they've built a little by little instead of just like, boom, try to give you all the grit right now.
Because those little successes will help build their passion. Like they might end up not liking hiking, but if you take them on, you know, the 2 mile hike to the beautiful vista, then they'll get that passion.
Or they get to play in the water.
Or, right? Yeah. Then they get the passion. And then when it's time to go rim to rim in the Grand Canyon, they're like ready.
Yeah.
You know, I like that. I think that's great. Was there anything else in this book that really stood out to you that you wanted to share?
I just really liked this because I really think that with our kids, I think that it is really difficult. It's a difficult world to be in. And it's something where people are going to challenge you. They're not going to like things that you do or say or how you look or how you present yourself. And so you need to be able to have the grit, not to just have all of those influences affect you. Yeah. And so I really like this book.
Yeah, I loved it as well. I thought it was really great. So when Kim told me this was the book that she wanted to talk about, I conned her into talking about Lean In. I love the book Lean In. This is another one that I actually think I may have read these about the same time. Did they come out about the same time? Yeah, they did. They both came out in 2016, which is cool. So I loved both of these books. Lean In was recommended to me by a friend who, she's an executive at a company. And she's a go-getter. She's a female who's a go-getter. Well, our kids went to school, me and Kim, our kids went to school together. And ever since I've known her, you've been on my high list as like female go-getters. So
you're awesome. You're on my list.
Listen, Kim is, she's a go-getter. She gets things done. She takes care of her kids. She's present. She's helpful. She's kind. She's in. And I've always really appreciated that about Kim. And so when she recommended Grit, which was a book that I already loved, I wanted to talk about Lean In. I realized that people bristle, in general on both sides of the fence when you discuss a book with a really feminist, overtone, not undertone, overtone. And this, at first glance, may be one of those books. I want to tell you a little bit about Sheryl Sandberg. First of all, she is the chief operating officer at Facebook. She oversees the firm's business operations. Prior to Facebook, she was the president of global online sales and operations at Google. She was the chief of staff for the United States Treasury Department under President Clinton and was a management consultant with McKinsey and Company and an economist with the World Bank. So her work resume is ridiculous. I actually find a lot in common with both of these women. Angela Duckworth grew up in a home, and this is a funny part of the book that she starts out where her dad used to always say to her, well, you're no genius, but, well, my kids are not geniuses, but, you know, you did a good job. And then she ended up winning the MacArthur Fellow to do her research, and that is actually something that they nickname as like a genius award. She has really pushed the psychology of grit and done some really fantastic peer-reviewed empirical research. That's great. And so her ability to lean in and really kind of forge a way through her field and be a leader in her field in what she is studying really reminded me of this book, Lean In. So I really wanted to talk about it with Kim. So when you hear about a woman who has all these characteristics, the first feelings that you might have towards someone like this is that she's probably like a very like powerful, rough go-getter, right?
You picture really aggressive,
yes,
domineering.
Yes.
Yes.
And she was listed as one of Fortune's 50 most powerful women in business. She was listed as number 8. She was ahead of Michelle Obama on this list, which is wild. And she found it wild too. But one of the things I found endearing, and the second time through here, I listened to the audiobook and she narrates it. Mm-hmm. And it was just so charming to listen to her talk about how embarrassed she was to be put on that list because she's actually not like an arrogant person.
Well, and how she kind of shied away when anybody would bring it up. She
yeah.
was kind of embarrassed.
Yeah, she was embarrassed. She had a little bit of imposter syndrome, like, I don't deserve this. This not, might not be me. And so I find a lot in common with these two women and their ability to really persevere and push through in areas that they're passionate. But I love the advice that Sheryl Sandberg gives us on how, particularly as women, but I think a lot of this also applies to men, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, I do.
I think so. But really how, as women, we can lean into our lives and our circumstances, our situations, lean into our marriages, lean into our education, lean into our careers, lean into our family life, and really make a difference.
I think when she's saying lean in, and I read this a little while ago, but when she was talking about lean in, just being able to be present and mm-hmm. where things are needed, being able to come in, because she keeps talking about how more women in business need to lean in. And also she does talk about her husband, where when they do have such busy schedules, because mm-hmm. he is as successful as she is, where he does lean in and yeah. help pick up with the family things, with the mm-hmm. house, with where he also is being fully present and a part of it.
Yeah. And taking an equal seat at the table. And I love this in business, but I also love this in a marriage, because I think sometimes as mothers, we have a tendency to let our husbands off the hook and say, I'm the mom. But it's giving your husband or your partner, your spouse, an opportunity to sit at the table equally with you, you know, even just by asking, hey, would you mind giving the kids a bath tonight? I've got a meeting. And I think as women, we, just because gender roles are so ingrained in us, we have a tendency to not want to do that. It makes us feel like we're a failure.
I do like one of the things that she said, though, when she talks about when you are asking your partner to help out, to not be critical or to expect for them to do it the exact same way as you do,
totally.
Which I think is my problem, because I want things cleaned a certain way, or I want things a certain way. And so when my husband's trying to help me, I'm trying to tell him that he's doing it wrong or he needs to do it a different way.
Right.
And so I actually, when she said that, I kind of thought, oh, that actually, I really like that. But I think that leads into other aspects as far as your marriage and as far as just where you're kind of taking each other strengths and weaknesses and working together instead of just do it my way.
Yeah. I love that. I totally love that. So, I want to ask this question in more of a business setting. And so Kim and I, we both stay at home as moms. I consider myself stay at home. I work part time. I consider myself a stay at home mom. And you're a stay at home mom, but you have these things that you do that are your own things that are business oriented, and you have a degree in business.
And I still totally consider myself a soccer mom.
Yeah.
A stay at home.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
But I do.
So from your perspective and like your experiences within the businesses that you help with, and, do you think that women entrepreneurs, especially, are equally as gritty as their male counterparts, or are they more so?
I think this is interesting. I think this is really interesting how I think definitely when you start looking at the statistics and stuff of the book, you look at the women are 25% CEOs mm-hmm. out of, you know, 100%. And so you start looking at some of these things. Do those 25% have to just work that much harder to be able to get where they are?
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that having myself been in a mm-hmm. lot of business meetings, I definitely have to prove myself mm-hmm. more than the men do. I feel like the men come to the table on an equal standing mm-hmm. as everybody else, but I feel like I can't just go into a meeting. I have to be prepared, and I have to be prepared to ask questions. I have to be able to ask some hard questions mm-hmm. to be able to get the respect. And I feel like by the time I can finish with a meeting that I usually can get that respect, but it's something that I have to work for to get. And so I do think that women do have to be a little bit grittier,
mm-hmm.
but on the other hand, I love this book because I feel like she isn't saying the men are putting us there.
Yeah.
I feel like she talks about a lot of examples where women aren't stepping up or not having the confidence that men are having.
Yeah.
And so she talks about how if a woman applies for a job, she won't apply for it if she's not 100% every one of the qualifications.
Mm-hmm.
And the men can maybe be about 60% of the qualifications and they feel fine applying for the job. And they're not apologizing for it.
Yeah.
That's what I loved about this book.
Definitely.
You just need to be able to find your voice and to be able to express it and just not to be handed anything.
Yeah. And I love that. I love this because my husband's an entrepreneur and it seems like the job that he's most often putting out ads for is for a CFO. CFOs don't stay long-term for whatever reason. And when we put ads out, I'm always like the first layer of going through the resumes and I, you know, pull out the ones that it seemed like they would be a good fit. Sometimes I look at these and I think to myself, like, Did you read the job? Did you like read the listing? And so firsthand, I can vouch for that is that, you know, with that example, women, we tend to feel like we have to be overly qualified to be qualified, but that's on us. If you're not applying for a job or you're not putting yourself in a position or you're not using your voice because you feel like, it's not coming from a valid position, you're valid. You got to sit at the table and you got to show up. And I love that. Often when we talk about women being gritty and taking a seat at the table and showing up for the circumstances that they're in our minds, we picture that in a negative way. If I were to say, oh, you know, that lady's really ambitious, or we create a picture in our minds. When I say, oh, that guy's really ambitious, we create a picture in our minds. And it's not often the same picture. Do you think ambitious and gritty has had a negative connotation for women?
Oh, definitely. When you actually brought up reading this book, that was the first thing I read about her.
Mm-hmm.
And she has TED Talks. She's so successful in everything that she does. She's very well spoken.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that she has accomplished mm-hmm. is amazing.
Yeah.
And so as I was reading all of it, I just thought, oh, what are you making me read?
Yeah.
And so I, as I read it and I read that she can be so successful,
mm-hmm.
still have some humility,
mm-hmm.
she really opens herself up to criticism, which mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of times really successful women don't, because they're kind of mean. And so people wouldn't tell some of them anything that they've done. I think mm-hmm. they feel like in order to be successful, they have to be mean. They have to be aggressive. There's certain things that they have to do. I feel like she is able to accomplish all of this and still be very dignified and be a leader and be strong. Mm-hmm. And so many people look up to her.
Yeah.
And so I loved it because I don't feel like she had to change herself to be able to become successful. And I don't feel like she had to step on other women or put them down or.
Yeah, no, I totally understand what you're saying. I think too, like when I look at businesses that are run by women that have like a mostly women staff, you do think that there's going to be catfights, if I can, to put it any other way, you know, where the women are going to be brutal with each other. They're going to be fighting each other for position. They're going to be unsupportive of each other. And she's not that way at all. Mm-hmm. And I love that. Do you think that's changing? Do you think it's getting better?
I hope it's changing.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I actually do keep my hand in working with different companies and stuff, mm-hmm. I work mostly with men. Mm-hmm. But part of it, I love it, but part of it too is I have three daughters. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I need to do it so that when my girls are doing it, maybe, you know, people will have different perceptions.
Yep.
But I like with her, one thing that I really liked how she does, and it kind of changed my perception of her a little bit, mm-hmm. was as being the leader, she accepts criticism and she even asks for it. Mm-hmm. And so she puts it out where the people that she's working with feel very free and not scared what she's going mm-hmm. to do to them if they give her any criticism. Yeah. And she takes it seriously when they give her criticism. Mm-hmm. And she talks about things that she does that she changes, or even how she says things or presents things. Mm-hmm. You know, she realizes that she things that she says really does matter mm-hmm. and it's affecting other people. And so when people bring it to her attention, she does something about it.
One of my favorite things in this book, and something that I hadn't thought about before, is she really talks about how important it is for us to be successful, that we need to have mentors and we need to have sponsors. I'd never thought of that before. And I think it's such a, first of all, I think it's great advice. Do you have any mentors?
I think as far as in business, probably one of my biggest mentors is my dad.
Okay.
For business opportunities, not always, but a lot of the things that I do, I'll discuss it with my dad, or even stocks. My dad probably calls me like 3 times a day to discuss different stocks and mm-hmm. diversifying the portfolio that we've built. And what are we doing about this? Oh, mm-hmm. you know, and so we'll sit there and we'll discuss things. And so I feel like my dad very much thinks outside of the box.
Yeah.
And he doesn't just say what he thinks that I want to hear. Mm-hmm. And he'll always, no matter what I say, he'll always throw a little something else in to make me really try and think about what I'm doing or what direction I'm going in.
I love that you said that your dad is your mentor, because I worry that for women, we feel like only women can mentor us. And I don't think that's true. Do you agree?
I do agree.
Yeah.
And it was interesting to me how often she actually gets asked to mentor people. Mm-hmm. That people, obviously, if you want to have a mentor, go for the best. But I think that it's interesting because there really are a lot of people around us that can mentor. But as far as finding women to mentor me around here, I don't feel like there's a lot of women that do what I do, mm-hmm. where I would love to have a woman mentor too. I think you can have more than one mentor.
Definitely.
But if there were younger girls that needed mm-hmm. help, I think I would love to do something like that, or to at least talk to them or give them ideas.
Yeah.
But I just would have to find a woman mentor.
Right.
I'm sure there's plenty of them. I just haven't.
You haven't come across any. What about, so she talks about sponsors, which was kind of, I felt like that was kind of a weird label. Cause I feel like when I think of sponsors, I think of like, oh, Nike sponsors, Adidas sponsor, you know what I mean? But what she's talking about when she talks about, sponsors is people who are in your industry who are willing to vie for you. People in the industry that you have a good rapport with, so that, let's say, for example, you work in commercial real estate and you work in a finance department for a commercial real estate company. If you know a lot of people in the industry and you have good connections with them and you have a good rapport with them, then if a job comes up and someone says, hey, who do you think we should try and, you know, get for this job, there are people who will vie for you. Or, hey, I'm thinking about hiring so-and-so. What do you think about that? And I think that was really eye-opening to me as a woman. And I don't think that we acknowledge a need for that as women. Do you? I mean, have you ever thought about that?
Do you know, I haven't thought about that. And as you're saying this, I think it's actually really interesting, because even with what I do, investing, mm-hmm. I'm not actively out looking for investments.
Yeah.
They kind of come to me. And so the people who have brought them to me have been men, actually.
Yeah.
Like just saying, I think that this is something that you could contribute to, and they can, you know, where it's equal for both of you.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because it has been in every situation, it has been men bringing it to me.
Yeah. So it's interesting. And it makes a difference.
Yeah.
It does make a difference, I think. So at the end of this book, she talks about a couple things that we need to do. And I'm actually going to find the quote and read it.
I don't remember what the barriers
are. Okay, so this was after she gave a TED Talk. And one of her colleagues from a previous company that she was working for, she ran into them and they were saying, you know, now that you're like at Facebook and you're all feminist, is this kind of your thing now? And she says, at the time I didn't know how to respond. Now I would say, yes, I made this my thing because we need to disrupt the status quo. Staying quiet and fitting in may have been all the first generations of women who entered corporate America could do. In some cases, it might still be the safest path. But this strategy is not paying off for women as a group. Instead, we need to speak out, identify the barriers that are holding women back, and find solutions. I think if you take that statement by itself, it does sound very like feminist.
Feminist.
Just basically feminist. But I think the way she describes, and I think the premise of her book, the idea of leaning in, really lets you know that it isn't. But I love those two calls of action to speak out and identify barriers. And to bring this, you know, around to Angela Duckworth's book, I mean, does that require grit? I think it does.
Well, and I also think with the quote that you just read, with the information that actually is around that, mm-hmm. when she talks about how each of us have our own part to play.
Yeah.
So some are full-time moms with mm-hmm. a full household of children and running a house and mm-hmm. doing all of that on top of it. And so I do consider myself mostly a stay-at-home mom, mm-hmm. and I barely can handle everything that I have.
Right.
And so I look at these women who are really successful, what they're doing, mm-hmm. and balancing children and a house and everything else that comes mm-hmm. involved with it. And so it definitely requires grit.
Yeah.
But I love because she also talks about how just because that works for one person doesn't mean it works for mm-hmm. another one. And so each of us need to decide what our own barriers are and where our limits are. Mm-hmm. And we need to go by that mm-hmm. and not be embarrassed or apologetic because we're spending more time at home than we are at work, or that whatever works for us and
definitely.
Whatever makes us happy for our particular situations, mm-hmm. that we support each other.
I absolutely love that. All of these different aspects of running a household, running a business, running your life, you know, the idea of leaning in and having grit, it applies to everybody.
It does.
Which I love. Not just the working mom, but the stay-at-home mom. Not just moms working or staying at home, but college students who need to lean in their classes, keep their hands raised when everyone else's hands go down. So whether you're a college student, you're living by yourself, working, married, not married, I love that this, I feel like it applies to everyone.
Yeah, I do too.
I think it's great.
That's a good book.
Yeah. So before we go, I know that you've been reading a lot of nonfiction business because you gave me some other good recommendations. If this is a topic that like inspires people, do you have another book you want to recommend?
Okay. I have a few.
I love it.
I just off the top of my head, I'd written them down so I wouldn't forget.
Okay.
So Moment of Lift by Melinda Gates.
Okay.
Awesome.
And that's pretty new.
It's newer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's amazing. And cool. Bill's awesome because she talks about that.
Cool.
Becoming by Michelle Obama. Good to Great by Jim Collins. Coddling of the American Mind, Greg Lukianoff. Snowball by Alice Schroeder, and that's about Warren Buffett.
Cool.
Either Outliers or Blink by Malcolm mm-hmm. Gladwell. I think any of the Gladwell books are great.
Awesome.
And then Hidden Figures by Margaret Lee Shetterly. So those were a few.
All good books. Awesome. Yay, I love it. Well, Kim, thank you so much for doing this with me.
And thank you to our listeners for joining us on this episode of Lovely Books. If you like what you heard today, please remember to comment, like, subscribe, leave a review, leave a rating, and share this podcast with your friends and family. I hope you guys have a fantastic week reading, and we'll see you again in 2 weeks when we highlight another lovely book.